Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Upon arriving, the angel of the Lord said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored daughter, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." She was deeply troubled by his words and wondered what his greeting meant. And the angel went on to say to her, "Do not fear, Mary, you have found favor with God. You shall conceive and bear a son and give him the name Jesus. And great will be his dignity, and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his reign will be without end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know man?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Hence the holy offspring to be born will be called Son of God. And know that Elizabeth, your kinswoman, has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was thought to be sterile is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "I am the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say." And with that, the angel left her. The Gospel of the Lord. Yes, we've been talking about why I come to church. And after last week, my good friend asked me after Mass, he said, "This is the reason that I go to church." He said, "Now, next week, are you going to tell us the right answer?" And I said, "Oh, you're so Catholic." And really, he's a convert to the Catholic faith. But how interesting. Reflected on in the video this morning, and the question is, you know, there is no one definitive answer. We love to have a definitive answer. And this is the reason, and this is the reason. And we've been raised ostensibly that way, that there's this right answer, and this is what it's about. Well, there's no one right answer. But it makes a huge difference, the intention that I have about coming to Mass, and the purpose. Make all the difference in the world. We have an expression in common parlance that goes like this: things are not always what they appear to be. And we also have an expression: if I had only known. Pardon? That is, I would have acted differently. I would have done differently. I would have responded in a different way. They're two pretty significant reflections as we look at the gospel today, particularly. What do we know? And do we rather knowledge or faith? Probably is the inherent question there. If given a choice, which one would we choose? It's a great story in Southern lore. It goes like this. It's set in a small town during the Depression period in the Southern United States. Story of a father and his son and daughter, and they're living in this town, and his wife has died. He's a very good man. He loves his two children, and he is an upright individual. He's strict with the kids, but he loves them, and they love him in return. And he settles in here in this town, and they are above average during these depression times in terms of means and opportunity. And they are accepted in the town, and then He is a great lawyer and he decides to represent a black man accused of murder and rape. And things change dramatically. And the telling of the story with all of the nuances in there and the challenges inherent in the story, the lady who lives at the end of the street, the elderly lady, very dramatic, and his two children pass by there every day on the way to school and on the way home, and she has a lot of things to say about their father. A lot of nasty stuff. And eventually, in the story, the boy jumps over a fence and he kicks around the flowers and causes some disruption in the garden, and he comes home and his father asks him about it, and he said, "But Dad, I did it for you. I did it for you." His father said, "Well, didn't need to do it for me. You need to go back and apologize." And he goes back and apologizes to the elderly lady. And then his father says, as a part of the plan and a part of the deal, "Here's what I want you to do as a manner of retribution. You and your sister will go every day after school and read to her for an hour. That's what I have agreed upon with her." And reluctantly they go and they read to this woman. She has a lot of issues. Father tells them that she is pretty sick, but that he wants them to be with her and to read. And so they go faithfully after school and read for about an hour. But then she has these kinds of convulsions. And whenever those come about, the kids leave and her attendant comes and takes care of her. And it's a distressing kind of experience for them, but they continue to be faithful to it. And then one day their father comes home and he tells them the woman has died, and they are kind of grateful, but they don't want to express that to him. And father explains to them, this woman was pretty ill. Some doctors had prescribed her pain medications and she became addicted to those medications. And then when she was told that she was about to die, she decided that she would kick the habit. And the children anxiously ask, "Well, was she successful?" "Yes, she was." And the father said, "Before she died, she told me that she would probably have never made it if it weren't for you all coming to read in those afternoons." And they felt badly and they said, "If only we had known, we would have acted differently. If only we had known." Thought about it during the week, and the rest of the drama is pretty unbelievable. Man is found guilty, contrary to the evidence being very, very clear, but he is found guilty by his 12 peers who are white. Interesting. You might have heard that one of our priests died this week. Bernard Law. He was ordained in 1961 for our diocese. What do you know about him? How interesting that his life has played out in the media and the press. How extraordinary to pick up the local paper and it says, as a headline, "Disgraced Cardinal or Archbishop dies." Is that what we remember about people? That's what struck me. Is our last memory of a person, is that the value? I thought, wow. Here is a man who, before I came to the diocese and in the early 60s, was the greatest Catholic voice, period, against segregation. He spoke very forcefully and very strongly and powerfully. And his name was on a little list. He did not go by without notice. and received many threats, and under the cover of darkness, oftentimes going with Bill Miner and Monsignor Paddy Farrell to go ahead and work through many of those issues and to push forward. He was editor of the Catholic newspaper at that time, and he wrote some very forthright and challenging editorials about the way we should live. He started out at St. Paul's in Vicksburg, and after just a few years came and worked in the chancery, lived at St. Therese in South Jackson, and became the editor of the newspaper, and then moved on, went to Washington for a while, and then became the Bishop of Springfield, Cape Girardeau, and then became the Cardinal in Boston. And he was judged greatly in the forum of public opinion and by the media. Who knew the real details? He did the right thing to resign because the tragedy and the ailment and sickness of pedophilia in his diocese, and when you are the leader, the appropriate thing is to step down and say, it happened during my watch, or some of it did at least. Much of it had happened before he ever got there. But it was amazing to be tried in the court of public opinion or by the media. As I read it, I thought about the gospel, Mary. Mary says yes to the angel. I don't know what this really entails, but yes. I don't know what's really involved. She had no idea what would be involved. But her yes was pretty important. And the yes is something that you don't make one day, but something that you have to continue to make every day. I can't just make it once. It never happens that way. She said yes, but I bet you she never knew that coming to the birth and preparing to give birth, every door would be closed in her face and there was no room for them in the inn. I bet she never could have conceived of such a thing. I bet she never could have conceived of the fact that at the birth of her child, she would be a refugee in another country. Isn't that pretty dramatic? She was. That's exactly what she was. A refugee, had to have her papers to go to Joseph's place. She was a refugee in another country when her child was born. I don't believe she could ever have imagined that she would see her son crucified as a common criminal after 33 years. And yet she endured. And yet she said yes. She didn't know what was coming. She didn't know all of the facts. But we live in a world where we are obsessed and we think we know and we like to know all of the facts. But here is a great example of somebody who said yes and understood, I've got to keep saying yes. And at some point after asking all of the questions, we don't have the answers, and we certainly will not have the answers that are satisfactory. And that's the point where we let God be God. What a great example. Powerful, powerful example. Interesting in that great southern lore in that story, the facts were totally different. The facts were quite different in the life of Bernard Law, priest of our diocese, and the facts were certainly different in the life of Mary. I like the idea of God being the judge. He certainly does a lot better job than I do. It's a great story for us as we celebrate the greatest mystery of all, the mystery of the incarnation, that our God chose to be enfleshed and embodied just like us and came right into it. God didn't change the world for his arrival and didn't change the attitude of people. He saw it all exactly as it was. And Mary, one of our own, saw it all. And all of the rejection and abuse and ultimately the crucifixion and death of her son as a common criminal. And she said, Yes, the God.